would extend a very warm welcome to everybody here tonight. Some of you have been invited to come in, and we're glad you came in. And we trust that what we have to say to you will encourage your hearts. And if you're not saved, I trust it will smite your hearts that you may realize what we're talking about. We're going to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we begin our gospel meeting this evening by singing hymn number 32? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can we stand, please, and sing number 32? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white and so. Blessed God, our loving Father, we thank Thee for that precious blood of Jesus of which we have been singing. We thank Thee this night, our God and Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world to die on that cross of Calvary, the Savior of sinners. And we thank Thee for each one in this room, Lord Jesus, that knows Thee as Savior. But Thou knowest whether there are any in this room that are still not saved. And tonight we just beseech Thee, we cry to Thee, that they may turn to Thee, Lord Jesus, as that one who can save. We commit Thy word to Thee. We pray that the vessel may be a channel from Thyself, a clean channel, a channel that would reach into the hearts of each one of us. We ask it, Lord Jesus, in Thy blessed and precious name. Amen. Can you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 8, beginning at the second line of the first verse. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophets this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Then go on to the 38th verse. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way, rejoicing. Back to verse 37, middle of the verse. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, as I was pondering the portion that we should consider tonight, I was thinking about many of the things that were said in the reading meetings earlier today. And I thought, too, as I read that first verse of Acts 8, that here we're reading something that happened maybe 30-some-odd years after the Lord Jesus left this scene, or somewhere around there. And the words that impressed me were persecution, scattering, murder, destruction, ruin, and funerals. Isn't that what we see in this world today? You don't have to go very far before you see all those things spread out. You all know about it, and I don't have to explain what each of those means. But what I would like to ask you, what does it mean to you personally? Are you taken up with that kind of thing? Is that the thing that's troubling you? Are your thoughts absorbed by that? Beloved young people, I want to say at the start of this gospel meeting, I talked to a lot of you here in the last day. My heart goes out to you. I love you. And I've shed a few tears for you because there's some here this evening who are not saved. You know whether you're saved. I don't. The Lord knows. And tonight, I want you to listen carefully as we consider this. Here we are talking about things that are happening. But you know, there's something very beautiful here too. In the fifth verse it says, fifth verse. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Oh, this was a wonderful thing. Things were happening. Philip was out there presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't introduce himself as Philip. I'm a great man. I'm an evangelist. No, he just went out there and he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Philip was a busy man. He enjoyed what he was doing. And he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know, sometimes the Lord intervenes, even for those who have been given the responsibility to preach to big groups. We have a big group here tonight. It's a privilege to speak to you. But you know something? It's even more important that you individually understand the Word of God. Here we have an instruction in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake to Philip. Oh, you know, for those of us who love to preach about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we better have our ears tuned. Because if we speak at our own power, we may miss the point. We may miss one of you beloved young people or older ones here this evening who know not the Lord Jesus as Savior. We may miss one or two or some of you who have put on a front and you pretend to be Christians. Young people, this is a reality. This is a thing that's happening. There are some that are just putting on a little show. If I speak too tough, I'm sorry in a way. But if it speaks to your heart, I'm glad. Tonight, you have to face that reality. Here he was. An angel told him to go south. Go south. But did he argue? He said, but Lord, we got such a lovely conference here. I don't want to go south. I want to stay right here because I'm enjoying all these people and speaking to them. He didn't argue. It just tells us he went. He went south. Not to Florida. Not to Hawaii. But to Gaza. Would you like to go to Gaza today? I don't. That's not a very safe place to go. He went to Gaza. This world is not a safe place, my friend, unless you have put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many years ago, I was about 6 or 7 years of age, I was saved. I had an aunt, a faithful aunt, who was babysitting us. And she was telling the story of Daniel's three friends. I was scared because I had visions of what it would be like to be cast into a furnace. But you know, the Lord spoke to my heart and I was saved. Now, do you know when you were saved? Maybe you don't. That isn't essential. But you know something, you've got to know that you are saved. I've spoken to people who say, well, I hope so. I think so. But you know, we should know so. In 1 John, we have a verse that I always like to refer to. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There it is. That's not my word. I didn't write this. This is God's word that you can know. God's word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everyone in this room, young and old alike. I've sinned many times. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, and I am eternally secure. Nobody can take that away from me. So here was someone who listened to the Lord. Oh, for those of us who are saved here, are we listening to the Lord? He may have something for us. He may ask you, he may want you to just be a friend to somebody. Just to be friendly to them, to talk to them. Watch the periphery of the groups here. Dangerous if we don't, because sometimes problems happen. Well, he obeyed. He went to Gaza. Maybe it wasn't as dangerous in those days as it is now, but he went. And it tells us in that 20, go back to Acts, in the 27th verse, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Was that a coincidence? No. Philip knew that there was going to be something there for him to do. He didn't know who it was, but there was somebody there that needed to be told about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out there, and he did something very interesting. You know, that man's name isn't given in Scripture. He was a no-name man. And the good that the Lord doesn't always put the names in, that way we can put our own name in it. He went to this man, and he was the finance minister. He was a finance minister. Our finance minister here in this country is Mr. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He just looks after the finances. But can you imagine what, you know, just picture this. Here he is going across the desert, and he sees this entourage. I don't think he was by himself and driving the coach himself. I think he had an entourage of people around him, because he was very important to Candace, the queen, in Ethiopia. And here he was at... He was told to go near to him and listen. What a peculiar thing that is. To go near to this man. Can you imagine running up to the limousine of the President of the United States and knocking on his window, say, or to the Prime Minister here in Canada, knocking on his window? You'd be down on your back in seconds. The security would be so tight. We don't hear anything about any security. And if there was, they didn't interfere. Why? Because the Lord had sent him to do a job. Then in verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading a book. Reading a book. We've read a book today. We read quite a bit of that book today. I couldn't begin to remember all the verses we read. But we read a good book today. We learned something. I did. I learned something very important. How wonderful it is for the servants of God to come and tell us about what this book has for us. It tells us in this book something very important. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's word gives us the solution. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved? What's saved? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A sinner that is not saved will never enter heaven. You, are you saved? Brother and a sister that are very special to us asked a very simple question of an 87-year-old man. Are you saved? Well, I'm a good man. You probably don't need that. Critical question. Critical question. Are you saved? Are you saved? He was saved. To the joy of the family members. Then we heard of a 90-year-old lady. Same thing. She was a good lady. Didn't need anything. Are you saved? No, she wasn't. She wasn't. but she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. 90, 87 to 90. Then we hear from the little work going on in East Michigan. The brother phoned me and said, 6 people were saved. What hero. Isn't that wonderful? You know, just before we came in here, some of us were in a little room there, and the prayers that were sent up to the Lord brought tears to my eyes. There was a cry to the Lord that there was someone here that wasn't saved, that they might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ now, before it is too late, because God's Word tells us, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the right time. What does the Lord say in His Word? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you think you could sneak through another way? No. If you aren't saved before you die, or if you aren't saved before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He's going to have to say to you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Simple as that. Yeah, but isn't He a God of love? Indeed He is. He is a God of love. He loves you so much. If He didn't love you, He would have taken all His own home and left you to die. And so tonight, I challenge you to ask yourself, each one, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? Ah, that makes a difference. You know, some have argued that the reason that Cain was bad and the other was good is not clear. It must come in their DNA. But you know, if I can use that application, I believe that we find in Abel a new birth. I'm going to stretch science a bit tonight. He had a new DNA. That's what the Lord will do for you. He'll change you if you accept Him as His Savior. How do you do that? You have to admit that you are a lost sinner, that you deserve nothing. You deserve nothing but a lost eternity. You know, you get some real encouraging things. As you know, I do a daily ministry called Gems from My Reading. A year or two ago, I had a beautiful, beautiful email. Very touching. And this person said to me, you'll never believe where I'm reading this gem. I'm in a foxhole. There's shooting going on up there. There are bombs going off. And on my little electronic device, I picked up your gem that somebody kindly forwarded to me. You don't know who I am. I may never meet you, but I'll meet you in glory. Never heard from him again. There was no name on there. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord has a way of getting His Word even in a foxhole. Well, he ran to the chariot, and he said to him, do you know what you're reading? Again, I say, can you imagine asking the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Canada, what are you reading here? Do you know what you're reading? Let's not try to answer that. But, this man had a good answer. This eunuch had an ideal answer. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? We're telling you tonight. Number one, you're a sinner. Number two, you have no access into heaven. Number three, you can have access into heaven by simply acknowledging that you're a lost sinner and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. He will save you. He will save you. You know, I remember one time, I told a story before. My father-in-law, Tom Deere, many years ago we were visiting, and he took his suit to the dry cleaners. When his suit came back, there was a note pinned on his lapel. He looked at the note, he gave it to me, and here it was a note from one of my children. I want Jesus to wash all of my sins away. An appropriate note to accidentally land up in a dry cleaning establishment. That simple.
It's that simple. Tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you're a sinner and don't wait to the end of this meeting, because time is of the essence. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So then we find a very interesting thing. Not only did he get by the security, not only did he get by the embarrassment of knocking on the window, if that's what he had in his chariot, but he was invited to come up and sit down with him. Well, now that's really something. Was he intimidated by that? I think I might be. I might be. It'd be kind of nice to be able to do that. You know, our prime minister's a Christian. I read a story of how he was saved. But my prayer for him is that he will not compromise his Christianity. So we can pray for him. We pray for all those in power and authority. It's a wonderful thing to know that there are those in power and authority that are Christians. Well, they came up, and it says there in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? If you have been here this past day and yesterday, you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know that he is the Savior of sinners. I wonder if I can bother somebody for a glass of water. He is the Savior of sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows what you need tonight. This is really serious stuff. You know, I say that to my kids, to see that to my kids. This is serious, guys. This is serious stuff. Thank you very much. But tonight, he wanted to know who this was. He read from Isaiah, the Old Testament. This was many, many years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Can you imagine going back to Isaiah and it tells us that the Lord Jesus had forecast it? Well, these fellows sat down and they began to talk. What do you think he talked about? The weather? That's a favorite subject. No. Did he talk about politics? Another favorite subject of some of us. And I'm not proud of that either. Gas prices? Oh, that's a very difficult thing. The stock market? Well, no. No, no to all of them. They didn't talk about that. They didn't talk about that at all. This man had come from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And he was sad. He was very sad because all he found there was coldness, formality, no answers, disappointment, disillusionment. And he was going back sad. Tonight, if you leave this building sad because you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you may not have another chance. You may not have another chance. Think about it. He gives us a chance now. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, you know, allow me to stretch this a little bit and apply it to the gospel. Philip preached unto him Christ. It was an individual thing. He spoke directly to this man. What did he tell him? What do I tell you about accepting Jesus as Savior? In 1 Timothy 1:15, we read, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We talked about that in meeting. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God
first four words of the Bible. We talked about God. We have to do that. Because if you don't believe in God, what are you going to do? If you don't believe in God, and if you continue in that pathway, and you should die in your sins, it's a terrible, terrible situation. You know, we had a man in our office when I worked out west who was an excellent businessman. And he and I were sitting together in his office. We had a major, major problem. And I could tell he was very upset about it. I told you the story before. Please bear with me. And we had to face some pretty critical things. Lunchtime came out and around, and the two of us decided to go out for lunch. And as we went out of the office, here were the television cameras trained on us. And I won't even go into the explanation of what happened. So this man went one way, and I went the other. We had lunch, came back. We came back, his car was parked. I went to his office, and he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Went looking for him, couldn't find him. Finally, I asked him, where is this man? Where's Ralph? That's his name, is Ralph. I don't know. Well, let's start looking. Went to another office, and I went around the desk. There he was. On the floor, dead. Dead. You know what he said to me, the last words I heard him say to me? Norm, what more can we do? What more can we do? Ralph told me one time, he said, Norm, if you're going to have a gospel meeting, don't have it on my office. Well, we took him away. He was gone. Too late. I don't know whether he was saved or not. I didn't think he was, but you know, at the funeral, I met his mother, a dear, dear, lovely woman. And she said, you know, Ralph, when he was a little boy, he went to Sunday school, to a little hall, Sunday school hall, regularly. I pray to God that there was life there. But you know, his actions didn't prove it. He was a good living man, but there he was a worldly man. His actions didn't prove it. A young man said to me one time, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. I can never be lost. I said, well, then how come there's no fruits? By their fruits ye shall know them. Young people, is what you're doing a fruit that shows that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? I ask you that question. Are there fruits? Can the person sitting beside you see that there's something different about you? By their fruits ye shall know them. You know, about a year or so ago, our neighbor by the name of Dave, who walks his lovely collie dog by our place, came over and he said, Norm, my wife just died. I said, oh, Dave, that's terrible. He said, yeah. Her mom and dad died just a few months before, and it was about a week or two apart. No relatives on her side of the family. I said, Dave, what about your side? He said, none. He said, Norm, could you do something for me? I said, sure, anything I can do for you, I will do. We had him in for a cup of tea, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out two pictures. He says, these are the only two pictures I have of my wife. Do you think you could take them and enhance them so that I have some memory? I said, sure. I think we can do something for you. So anyway, time went on, and my neighbor next door, by the name of Chris, drove his truck by our place, and I waved him down and said, Chris, did you know that Dave's wife died? Oh, that's terrible. It's terrible. I said, you know, that's why it's so important to be ready. And I could hear him slip his truck into gear, start moving forward, and he said, once the paperwork is done, it's all over. That's all he thought of it. That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Dave came back to me about 2 or 3 weeks later, and
He says, you know, Norm, I'm not a religious man. But you know, you're sending these papers out to me every week. The gems. I said, what? He said, I get these every week. It's very nice, but you know, I'm not a religious man. I said, Dave, I want to tell you something right now. I did not design that. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that happened. I think I do. I think the Lord allowed it. He said, I enjoyed it. Well, you know, the Lord works in such wonderful ways. Now, tonight, my friend, you may never have heard the gospel message from this portion. Maybe it will speak to you. So anyway, what did they talk about? They talked about Christ Jesus coming into the world. And Philip was quite capable of doing that. He had done it to a large audience. He was speaking to one man now. What else do you think they talked about? Well, he came into this world. And then we read in the Gospels that unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus came into this world as a baby in a manger. He was God in the flesh. He was perfect in every way. He could not fail. He could not sin. He never will sin. He was perfect. He was perfect. He came into this world and for 30 years, we didn't see much of him, and then he ministered for 3 years. Oh, this holy, perfect, spotless one came into this world and did nothing but good. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. He comforted the fatherless and the widows and the orphans. He did only good. He couldn't do anything else but good. But you know, man did not want him. If you were to read the first part of this, we find that a man by the name of Saul hated the name of Jesus. He was a vehement man. We're not going to talk about him very much. But you know, man today does not like the name of Jesus. Jesus came into this world. Then another thing they talked about, how man treated the Lord Jesus. How they took him in the garden and bound him and led him away to judge him. How they beat him about the head with a rod. Put a crown of thorns on his head. They scourged his back. They spit upon him. That's the Lord Jesus, the perfect man. How could they do that? How could they do that? If you take the time to read the Gospels, you find that the thief, there were two thieves, one on either side. One thief said to both of them said, the same thing. They rejected him, and one changed his mind. He said to Jesus on the cross, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. Today. Someone was said, well, when asked whether he wanted to be saved, he said, well, I can wait. Yeah, this is lots of time. I have time to do it. Look at the thief. He answer was, which thief? Which thief? That is the question to you. Where are you putting your allegiance? Where are you putting your confidence? In your skills? In your career? In your money? All those things, they have a way of disappearing. You need to put your confidence and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was raised between heaven and earth. Terrible suffering. The Roman way of causing suffering was to crucify somebody. The Lord Jesus hung there on the cross. That one thief turned to him and he said, today. And you know, again, I say, as I said earlier, today you can be saved. Right where you're sitting. It would be wrong for me to say to wait, because I don't know when he's going to come. And you know, that's another thing I believe that they might have talked about. First of all, they buried him. They buried the Lord Jesus. They put a watch on there. They put a seal on the grave. They had guards around it, just so that they wouldn't steal his body and say that he had risen.
But you know, we sing in Sunday school, our God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Those his friends who loved him went to the grave. They were told, he is not here. He is risen. You know, people are celebrating what they call Easter. When Lois and I were leaving the house yesterday, this fellow Chris and the neighbor across the street who's Roman Catholic, Chris said to me, I'll see you in church. This is the man who put his truck in gear and went away. Now, I don't know whether he was mocking. I kind of think he might have been. But you know, the conscience is working. Oh, if there's someone here that's not saved, please don't wait any longer. Please don't wait any longer. I don't know how many more times I can repeat that. But you know, I don't think that Philip had to say that to this man. He preached Christ to him. You know, I have some grandchildren who like to play hockey. And one day I was watching him play, and afterwards it was a bit of a noise, and I said, how can you hear anything with that equipment over your ears? He said, well, I don't listen to anything but my daddy's voice. Are you going to listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? There's going to be a lot of noise. And when we close this meeting, there'll be noise in here. You're going to be distracted. If you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you, react now. And say, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. In this great country of Canada, we're allowed to gather like this. We're allowed to preach the gospel. How long will that last? How long will that last? May not last too much longer. And then I believe he said something else to this Ethiopian. Let me just read it. I'm adding something to this, but you'll forgive me because I think it's so beautiful. In Acts chapter 1, it says, and while they looked steadfastly, verse 10, toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's a message to you. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven. There were witnesses of those that saw him go to heaven. And the message was, he's coming again. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Soon! I don't know when. It could be before this meeting is over. And if that's the case, and you're not saved, you'll be too late. Forever too late. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and die in your sins, you're not going to have a second chance. But now, you still can make a choice. You can still make a choice. We read in John, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God's word tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Young people, I feel a burden for you. You guys and the girls, you're going skating and playing hockey in a few minutes. Hockey's a rough game. I don't want to scare you unnecessarily, but if you don't want to listen to the message of the gospel, the Lord may have to teach you in some other way. I know our time is gone, but I can tell you one more story. I remember a few years ago,
some of us from the different assemblies were together playing hockey. And a goal was scored on a fellow, and he slammed a stick on the ground, and I thought, oh, this isn't good. I must go and talk to him. When we were finished, he wasn't there. The next day, he was in eternity.
He took his life. I wasn't diligent enough to follow through and go and talk to him. He was a Christian. Talked to him many times. He was a Christian. He loved the Lord. He's now in eternity.
Now I want you, young people, to watch your friends. Those of you who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, observe who's sitting around you. Maybe somebody has a question. I'd sure certainly glad to talk to anybody who has a question.
If you're not saved, it's a very, very important thing. By their fruits you shall know them.
Well, the gospel message may stop tonight. You ever thought of that? This may be the last gospel reading. We will never all be together like this again. Individuals, maybe, if the Lord leaves us here, but I doubt we'll all the same people be together. Some will be missing. Some will be missing.
One more verse. It tells us here the eunuch went on his way rejoicing.
The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Oh, happy day. That fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, glad to confess the one divine. I think if this song was known then, that's the one the eunuch would want to sing. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. All that sorrow, the terrible things he had seen, vanquished, forever put away, and he was going back to his job, a new man, born again. Let's sing the last verse of number 5. The last verse, number 5, verse 5, verse 3 rather, and the chorus.
Now,
God, our loving Father, we thank Thee for the gospel message. We thank Thee, our God and Father, that Thy word tells us so clearly that Thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We thank Thee for the verse which tells us, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thy word tells us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our God and Father, bless Thy word, that which Thou canst use in the hearts of each one of us for encouragement and for any not saved. Or Father, we just cry to Thee earnestly that Thou wilt speak to them, that they may not continue to put on an act, a front, but that they may just confess to Thee that they're sinners, that they need Thee as Savior. God and Father, we commit Thy word to Thee and thank Thee in Thy blessed and precious name. Amen. Now, the noise level is going to go up.
And it always is sad for me when I see that, because there may be some that are really concerned here about their salvation. Please, let's all be very much in prayer, quiet prayer, and just look around. Thank you. Appreciate your attention.